Morning, church. How are you guys? We doing good? Hey, I've seen lots of new faces here today between this service and last service, and I just want to introduce myself. My name's Gabe. I'm the campus pastor here, and if we haven't got a chance to meet, I would really love to meet you. Maybe I shook your hand on the way in, but I haven't got a chance to talk with you. As you heard Wayne say, we have some different environments that we want to utilize to get to know who our people are. And so one that I want to tell you about that is really cool that we're starting up is called a meet and greet. And the first Sunday of every month, so it'll be May 4th, will be the first one that we do. Will be a meeting, time to meet you, allow you to meet us, some of the staff. It's going to be over in the multi-purpose room right across the hallway over here. And if this is your first time, or maybe you've attended a few times, maybe Easter was your first time coming and you came back this week, we are glad that you're here and we want to get to know you. We want to answer questions you have about who we are as a church, but we just want to hear your story and hear about where you came from and how you ended up here in real life Hayden. We'll feed you. We bribe you to come with food and childcare. And so if you have kids through kids ministry, you can just keep your kids in there after this service and just head on over there and we'll give you some food and get to know you a little bit. So we're excited to be able to do that. And here's what we want you to know is we are a church that does a lot of things. And you see, I mean, almost 15,000 people across 17 services at 4 locations and Easter egg hunts and all these different things. And we ask people to serve and bring candy and do and give and be a part of groups and all these things. And we do this because we want far more for you than we want from you. And so we're not just asking to be a part of things just so we can get people in seats or get people in serving roles. We believe that through giving and through giving of our time, our talents, our resources, all those things, it actually does something for us that's beneficial to our growth and our relationship with Jesus. So we want far more for you than we do from you. So we just want you to know that. If you have more questions, connection point at the back of the auditorium, they can answer those things. Come talk to one of us, but we'd love to get to know you. So we are kicking off a new sermon series this week, and it's called You Asked For It. And so a few weeks leading up to Easter, we asked for people to send in responses or send in questions they have about God, about the Bible, about Christianity, just any kind of questions that you wanted addressed in a sermon series. And so we gathered together the top 7 responses to that survey that we put out, and we're going to be addressing it over the next 7 weeks. And so some of the topics, so week 2 next week is going to be, what is the Trinity and how does it work? Good luck with that one. Week three, why does a good God allow bad things to happen? I gave that one to Wayne. He's going to answer that one perfectly. How do I witness to people from other religions is week 4. Week 5, how do I fight against doubt? Week 6, what does the Bible say about the end times? And week 7, how would Jesus interact with the LGBTQ community? You know, just some light, fluffy topics. Thank you for sending those in. We really appreciate that. It couldn't just be like, hey, tell us about the gospel and the good news of Jesus, right? We believe these are really important, and we're actually glad that these questions came in because it's what people are asking. It's the questions that are being asked out there. And here's where it even gets even more personal is these are questions that your kids are being asked and are thinking right now. Your kids, your grandkids, your coworkers, your relatives, your neighbors, those that are close to you, these are questions that they're wondering, that they're maybe asking or maybe they're not asking. But we want to be able to give responses to those questions. And here's why I use the word response and not answers, because we believe that Jesus is the answer and we just point people to him. Amen? We give responses to questions, and there, I believe, are some really clear answers in God's word. But again, the purpose is not just to say, here's the right answer. It's to be able to engage in the conversation that we're having, which is why this week we're talking about how do I respond when I have questions. Now, there's 2 ways that you can look at this. One way you can look at it is, how do I respond when I personally have questions, right? That's one way to look at it. We're not so much going to address that today. We're going to more address that on the week where we talk about doubt. This week, we're looking at the other side of the coin of how do I respond when I have questions that are being asked to me. So when my kid my grandchild, my neighbor, my coworker, my relative that's distant, the atheist who's never believed in God, the Mormon missionary, when they come knocking at the door, when they're asking these questions, how do I respond? And here's our hope, and here's my prayer, and maybe this is something that you can think about just already in your mind, is in these different environments that you're a part of, as you're in the workplace, as you're at the table around with your family, as you're in the community, you're at line at Walmart, wherever that is, do people know that you are a person of faith? Would they even come to you and ask you about the faith that you have? And if the answer is no, maybe no one's ever asked you about your faith, maybe it's a question to start to wrestle with of why aren't people coming to me and asking me about the faith that I believe? Because we're called to be a light in our community. We're called to be a light in a dark world. A light has to shine. People have to see that light. And so in those different environments, are we engaging? Are we prepared to engage in the conversation with the questions that will come to us? At the very least, parents, grandparents, are you prepared to give a response to these questions when your kids ask? They will find the answer somewhere. Will it be at home? Or will it be at school? Will it be on the playground? Will it be on the internet? I mean, it's scary to think about that. So let's engage in this conversation. And today, we're teeing up this series really with talking about how do we even engage in these conversations? So what do I do when these questions are asked of me? How do I respond to that? We have an obligation and a responsibility as followers of Jesus to enter into these conversations and to have a response for it and to be able to teach what the truth is. And Jesus, in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, he says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." That's a bold statement, but he just rose from the dead so he can claim it. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit," and doing what? What's that next word say? "Teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you." So he sends his disciples out. Yes, preach the gospel. Yes, baptize. Make disciples of Jesus. Make disciples of me, right? But he's saying you need to teach these disciples, teach these people to obey what I've commanded you. Obey the words of God. So we have an obligation still 2,000 years later as followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus, to help teach people what God's word says and what truth actually is. And so today we're going to be looking at the ABCs of how to engage in conversation. This is all in your notes, the ABCs of how to engage in conversation. And I truly, truly, truly believe whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in your parenting, whether it's with your neighbors, your coworkers, whatever conversations you're engaging with, if you can follow the ABCs of engaging in conversation, I believe that those conversations will go radically different for the better. Let's jump in. A, when a question is asked of you, how do we respond? Ask more questions. Ask questions. The temptation oftentimes can be to just to jump in and give the solution, give the answer, or give your opinion on what that solution or that answer is. And it may be clear to you, you've maybe dealt with this in the past or you've wrestled through this question before, but for this person, they're maybe wrestling through it for the first time. And so if you just go, the answer is this, boom, they're not able to really process through why they're even asking the question in the first place, which we're going to talk about here in a little bit. Proverbs 18:2 is a verse that I've had to live my life by for the last few years because my tendency is to just jump in and not listen with the intent of understanding, but listen with the intent of responding to what someone's saying. And Proverbs 18:2 tells us to do just the opposite. It says, "A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart." So it's foolishness for us just to jump in and say, "Here's what I think, here's a solution, here's what it is, ready, go." That's foolishness. It's not understanding where the person's coming from, why they're even asking the question in the first place, what they're wrestling through, what's the context and the history that they have that's gone into even asking that question. We need to ask more questions than we do give solutions and give answers. So here's some pocket questions that you can ask when asked a question that may be more difficult in nature. So first of all, be curious and ask follow-up questions. So here's a question. Or here's a question you can ask. And it's super simple, and it's not even really a question, but it generates more conversation. This is my go-to, so if I ever say this to you, now you know my secret. Now you know my trick. Ready? Super simple. Tell me more about that. And when you say that, you got to give the head nod. You got to go, tell me more about that. Right? Because then it's like, then you're really curious about what they're saying, right? You go like this, tell me more about that. You don't care. You don't care about the, but tell me more about it. It's actually to the left. Tell me more about that. It's the logical side of your brain, right? If you can say, tell me, it allows them to process through more of what they're actually asking. So, hey, is there really a God out there? Tell me more about why you're asking that question. Well, how do we interact with people that believe different things? Well, tell me more about why you're asking that question. Tell me more about that. Here's some other questions. What makes this question so important to you? In other words, what is it that's gone on in your life that has brought you to the place where this is such an important question to you? Allow people to process through what they're feeling and what they're thinking. Here's one I always try to get to, but this is one that you gotta build up to. Because if you just lead out with this one, then you're just weird, right? But it's this. Hey, tell me your story. Right? So if someone comes up to you and says, hey, you know, is there really a God out there? Tell me your story. They're like, tell me your story. Like, what do you... But if we can lead into that, if we can talk about, hey, tell me more about that. What makes this question so important to you? Then people start to process through, and inevitably, history and background and context comes into play, and you eventually go, hey, what's your upbringing like? What's your upbringing like? Tell me about how you were raised. Did you were you raised in church? What's your relationship like with your parents? You start to understand who that person is, because I care more about the person asking the question than I do about the question that's being asked. Does that make sense? We're called to care about the person, not just answer the question. Tell me your story. What's gone into this that's made this so important to you? Help me understand what you mean by that. Someone says something, hey, I'm not really understanding what you mean by that. Help me understand that. Well, I want to understand you, because a fool has no delight in understanding, but someone who's wise does. Okay, so here's things to avoid. Avoid why questions. Let's just say, for instance, you know, hypothetically, you know, a husband goes to their wife and says, hey, honey, I'm thinking about doing this. And she goes, why? That's never happened in your marriage before, right? Do you automatically go, she disagrees with me? She doesn't think that what I'm suggesting or asking is valid? Because why questions automatically put someone on the defense. I have to defend what I'm asking or what I'm thinking or what I'm processing through. Hey, I'm thinking about doing this. Why? In other words, what you're thinking, what you're processing through is dumb, right? Why questions put people on defense? Also, things to avoid assumptions. Avoid assumptions of why that person is asking that question. Well, they must be asking this because of X, Y, and Z. Avoid assumptions, and questions help bring out clarity as opposed to just jumping into assuming why they're asking those questions. James 1:19, it says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to what? Quick to listen. And slow to what? Speak. And slow to become angry. We have two of these, one of these. Use these twice as much as you use this, right? Listen more than you're talking. In conversations, listen with the intent of understanding someone, not just saying all the right answers. And typically, as you begin to ask questions, you'll know this. There's always a question behind the question. So yesterday, me and a good friend were aerating and thatching our yard. And so we're going over to Sun Rental in Post Falls to get an aerator and a thatcher. And so we go there, and we go and ask the guy, say, do you have an aerator and thatcher? Yeah, we do. Have you ever rented with us before? Yeah, you do. Hey, what's your phone number? I give him my phone number. And he says, oh, your name's Gabriel. I said, yeah, my name's Gabriel. He said, I like that name. Cool, I like that name too. And he goes, I'm a big fan of The Supernatural. And I'm like, I'm a big fan of The Supernatural. Like, little did I know, The Supernatural is a TV show. I didn't know that, but The Supernatural apparently is a TV show. I thought he was talking about God. I'm like, cool, I worship The Supernatural as well. This is awesome. And he goes, oh, you're a big, you watch the show? And I was like, no, the show? I don't watch the show. I worship the God, right? And he goes, well, yeah, The Supernatural is this show, and it portrays God in like an evil light, and it talks about angels and demons and different ways that God can interact with people, and it's really interesting. I'm like, you and I are definitely not on the same page right now. Like, this is definitely not talking the same language, right? But I knew in this moment, I go, God's doing something right here, right now. And so I said, well, hey, tell me about why you're so interested in the supernatural. He's like, well, it's just fascinating to me. You know, I think that maybe there's some higher power out there, but I'm just not sure what it is. So at the surface level, the question he's asking is there a God out there? So I said, well, where are you going to find your answers to these questions? Like, how do you come up with the responses and the answers you have to these questions? And he goes, I just kind of think him up, and I just think that maybe this is who this higher power is and what he's like. And I said, well, based on what? And he goes, well, based on circumstances. I said, tell me more about that. He said, well, here's what I don't understand. How can my 12-week-old son die in my arms? And there's the question behind the question. How can a good and loving God allow these bad things to happen? He wasn't wondering, is there a God? He's wondering, how can this God let this happen? He goes, we didn't drink while she was pregnant. We never did drugs. I'm a good person. I treat people fairly and with respect. How is this fair? And I just go, that's a really, really good question. And I'm so sorry that you have to go through that. And I said, I'm a pastor at Real Life Ministries. Can I give you my business card? I'd love to talk to you more about this sometime. Would you be willing to call me? And he goes, yeah, sure, I'd be willing to call you. Give him my card, and that was that. His name was Jacob. I said, I go, Jacob, that's a Bible name. He goes, yeah, I know. And I go, you wrestled with God one time, you know that? He goes, like, yeah, I know. I go, you lost too, you know that, right? Get to know the person, understand their story. There's always a question behind what they're actually asking, what they're wanting to know. It's our job to unpack that and respond to those questions fairly. Okay, so we're going to ask questions. The B of the ABCs is bring in the Bible. After we've asked questions and seek clarity and understand why people are asking the questions, then we're able to bring in the Bible and where truth actually lies, because the Bible is where we find truth, right? It's not on social media. It's not on the news outlets. And we go to the Bible for truth. And it's okay to have opinions on things, but if our opinions aren't based off of truth, then they're simply just opinions. So we want to bring in the Bible. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is alive and powerful. It's active. The word of God is powerful. When we're able to implement the word of God into our own life and live out the word of God in our own life, it does powerful things in us, and it can do powerful things through us. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, all scripture is inspired by God. It's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. Now, listen to this passage right here. And I want for a minute, let's just take off the hat of we're helping out other people for a second. The word of God is inspired. It helps us realize what's true and what's wrong, and it corrects us in our own lives. We first have to live out the word of God before we can go teach the word of God. Would you agree? If we aren't living out the word of God, then we don't have any credibility of teaching the word of God. So first, God's word has to wash over us and fill our minds and correct our thinking and show us what to do and how to live our lives. So then when we run into a Jacob, we can say, well, hey, let me tell you about this God that I serve, and let me tell you about this scripture that I know, and let me help you understand what truth actually is and where to actually find it. But it starts with us living that out first. Verse 17, God uses it, using his word, to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. As we engage in conversations, it's based out of God's word that we bring these responses to people's lives and give them some kind of hope that's based on the truth of his word. And so here's what you have to know, though, with God's word, because some people I've heard go, well, I don't know God's word very well. If you are consuming God's word daily, God will help open up your mind and be able to retain information and be able to use that, and he'll bring it into your mind at the right time. But just because you don't have 20 verses memorized or the book of James memorized or whatever, that's okay. Here's a great response to give to someone when they ask a question about the Bible. Hey, you know what? I'm not quite sure what the Bible says about that, but I'll find out, and let's get together again. It was so cool. So my wife, she homeschools our three kids. And we were talking, as I was sermon prepping this, I'm like, does this make sense in more than just my mind, like the ABCs? And so I asked Aubrey, I said, hey, if the kids came to you one day and they had a question about the Bible and you weren't sure really like how to answer that, like what would you do? And she goes, well, I'd probably like just ask more questions to find out why they're asking the question. I was like, check. And I go, what else would you do? What'd you do next? And she goes, well, if I didn't know the question from the Bible, I'd probably say something like, I don't know the answer to that, but I'll find out and let's get back to you. I'm like, babe, this is exactly my message. This is making sense, right? This is good. If we don't know the answer to the question, that's okay. I think it brings credibility into our lives as believers to sometimes go, you know what? I don't know the answer to that. If we're the Christians that always just have the right answers, I think we lose credibility. Because if you know everything about God and everything about the Bible and everything about Christianity, I'm leery of you. Because you're human. We're all human. We don't know everything. We're limited, finite beings trying to understand an unlimited, infinite God. We're going to be confused about things and not know some things. That's okay. Let's wrestle through it together. So we're going to bring in the Bible. Now, sometimes you might go, well, I don't know what that really helped by bringing in that scripture. You don't need to know what it helps. You don't need to know the fruit that's being done. God says in Isaiah 55:11, it is the same with my word. I send it out. God sends his word out. And it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to. God's word doesn't return void. When we preach God's word, when we speak God's word, when we read and consume God's word, it's always doing something in our hearts and in our minds and in the hearts and the minds of the hearer. And so there's a couple resources on the bottom of your sermon notes that I'd love to point you to as it pertains to the Word of God. One of them is on a website called gotquestions.org. And gotquestions.org is a really, really good website that you can type in questions you have. And it brings up these articles of people that have written these articles. Now, again, we want to make sure that these articles are based on truth. Out of all the articles that I've read on gotquestions.org, they are really, really good. Really, really spot on. I'm not saying they're perfect. You have to do your own research. But there's an article on their website, and it's called Why Should I Believe the Bible? If you just type that in their search bar, Why Should I Believe the Bible? It gives a lot of good evidences of why the Bible is accurate and true and preserved through history and all of that that you can read that I would point you to. Also, our senior pastor, Jim, he did a podcast this last week about how to interpret the Bible. There's a proper way of interpreting scripture. There's 6 principles of hermeneutics or Bible interpretation that Jim walks through. I would point you to that. If you go to realliferesources.org, realliferesources.org, I thought it was going to be in your notes. It didn't end up in there. realliferesources.org/current-series. I know that's a mouthful. Write that down if you can. If you need to ask me afterward, I'll tell it to you again. But Jim did a podcast on how to interpret the Bible. It's really good. Okay, so that's the A and the B. Ask questions, bring in the Bible. Now the C, which I think for me is definitely the hardest part of it all. And that's calm yourself. Because when someone is saying, well, I don't believe that that's true, or I don't agree with that, and I know that it's based in truth, my tendency is to get defensive. Anyone else? Anyone else get defensive? It's like, this is true. Why don't you see this, right? Well, they don't see it because they don't see it. I didn't see what I didn't see until I saw it, right? And so you have to understand that people are in a different place in their relationship with the Lord and their understanding of his word. And so we have to keep calm and not turn it into an argument or a fight. Who here knows that arguments never have a winner? If you win an argument, you actually lost the argument. Because that means you made someone else, what? A loser. So our job isn't to argue. Our job is not to fight. Our job is not to do any of those things. Our job is to present truth and allow God to take it from there. Proverbs 17:27, he who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. We're to be calm. Present truth in a calm way. Not harsh, not argumentative, not fighting. In a fight, there ends up being a loser as well, right? Someone gets beat up. We're not here to beat people up. So then we go, okay, how do I do that? How do I do that? 2 Timothy 2:23-26. This is a passage that I learned and memorized years ago because I can be an argumentative person. Not only am I competitive and I like to win, but I like to argue. And I like to prove my point. Guys, there's times that I would argue a point that I didn't even believe in just to prove to that person that I could out-argue them. That's dumb, right? Like, that's dumb. And I had to go back and go, yeah, I didn't even believe any of that. Like, that, then I'm a liar. Gosh, now I'm just snowballing. 2 Timothy 2:23 through 26. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. The NIV says avoid foolish and stupid arguments. And the NLT says knowing that they just start fights. So New King James, avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. They start fights, they start arguments. But a servant of the Lord, that's you and I, if you've given your life to Jesus, must not quarrel, we must not fight, but be what? Gentle to all. Okay, we're going to be gentle, we're going to be calm. But then listen, able to teach. Teach what? Teach the word of God. Teach truth, not teach my opinion. Teach what God's word says. Able to teach, patient, because the people that you're teaching the truth to may be argumentative. They might not get it right away. So we're going to be patient. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition. Opposition to what? Your opinion? No. Opposition to the truth. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition. And then it says this, if God perhaps, if who? Okay, church, let's say it together. If God. If God perhaps, not Gabe perhaps, not you perhaps, if God perhaps will grant them repentance. That word grant just means to offer. If God perhaps will offer them repentance. Repentance means a change of mind. If God perhaps will offer them a change of mind so that they may know the truth, so that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil or the trap of the devil who's been taken captive by him to do his will. So if we break that down and we look at that and go, okay, we're gonna be gentle, we're gonna be patient, we're gonna be kind in humility, we're gonna correct those who are in opposition to the truth. This is how this all plays out. We're gonna ask questions. We're gonna seek clarity. We're gonna seek to understand the other person. We're going to know their story, which gives us context to why they're asking the question in the first place. We're going to care more about the person than we do about the question. We're going to bring in the truth of God's word, and we're going to keep calm in doing it all. Tell me this wouldn't help your marriage conversations, your parenting conversations, your work conversations. A week and a half ago, I'm sitting in the lobby at Post Falls, and I'm sermon prepping. I'm getting ready for Easter. And I'm sermon prepping for the greatest event in all of history, as I put it last week. And I'm like going to town and I'm focused. And all of a sudden, I see out of the corner of my eye over here, there's this guy who came in for help through our benevolence ministry. Came in for food, came in for support. And they're talking with him over here. And I could tell that this guy was just very withdrawn, very upset, very just standoffish. And so I'm trying to prepare, but I just can't help. And so I finally, I just kind of looking over there, and he goes to walk away. They give him his food card, and he goes to walk away, and I just knew the Holy Spirit was just prompting me, and I said, excuse me, sir. And he looks at me, and I go, hey, come over here real quick. I want to talk with you. And he goes, are you demanding that I come talk with you? I'm like, oh, dear Jesus. I said, no, I'm not demanding anything. I would just love to talk with you if you'd love to talk with me. If you'd like to talk with me. He goes, I'll talk with you. So he sits down. I said, hey, seems like you're having a bad day. He goes, I'm having a bad life. I said, tell me about that. He goes, what do you want to know? I said, tell me about your life. He goes, my life's always been chaos. It's always been just garbage. I've just had a bad life my whole life and nothing ever's gone right. And I've done this and I've done. And I said, man, I'm so sorry to hear that. Tell me more about that. Well, this happened. I got let go of my job and then she left me and then this. I said, oh, see, do you have a hard time trusting people? I have a hard time trusting everyone. I said, yeah, I can see that. I said, do you have a hard time trusting God? He goes, what's God ever done for me? I said, man, sounds like you have some anger. He goes, yeah, I have anger. Since 5 years old, I've been told by my dad that I'm worthless. I've been told by my dad that I'm no good, that I'll never amount to anything. You would think at 55 years old, I'd gotten over it by now, but it hurts every single day.
And there's the question that he's really asking. Why have I been treated like this? Why is that the one person that should have protected me and spoken value and identity in me is the one person who rejected me? Why? And if a good and loving God who's known as Father would treat me that way, why would I want to serve him? That's what he's really asking. So what's your name? He said, my name's Lee. I said, Lee, if I could tell you that the God that I serve is nothing like your Father, what would you say to that? He says, well, who's the God that you serve? He says, let me talk to you about that. At this time, it's 12:50. We're just getting into this really good conversation. The food room closes at 1 o'clock. And he goes, I got to go. I got to get food. They close at 1 o'clock. I said, hey, Lee, I'll be right here. If you want to come back and talk with me, I'll be right here. I didn't expect to ever see Lee again. About 1:30 rolls around, and I'm back to my sermon prepping. All of a sudden, Lee sits down right there, and I'm like, oh, doggone it. Just kidding. I said, Lee, I didn't expect to see you again. He goes, no one ever does. I said, so hey, Lee, can I ask you this one question? What do you want in life? He goes, I want to be free of pain. I can't handle any more of the physical pain. I can't handle any more of the mental pain of being hurt my entire life. I can't handle all the emotional pain that I've dealt with or people leaving me. He goes, I just want to be out of pain. I said, man, I don't blame you. Can I read you a scripture, Lee? He goes, sure. Revelation 21 tells us, Lee, that Jesus is going to come back. He's going to make all things new. And I read him the scripture where it talks about there'll be no more pain. There'll be no more crying. There'll be no more sorrow. All those things will be gone. He'll make all things new. And I said, Lee, is that the life that you're looking for? Yeah. So Lee, I'm not saying your pain is going to go away tomorrow, but I'm saying that the Jesus that I serve can take your pain away for eternity. I said, Lee, can I give you a Bible? And at this point, I'm thinking he's going to be like, yeah, sign me up. Let's get baptized. He's like, no. I was like, oh, dang it. All right. I said, well, Lee, why not? He goes, because that book is it's fallible. It's written by men. It's been passed down. It's been mistranslated. Da-da-da-da-da. I mean, throws out all the stereotypical shots at the Bible. And I said, well, Lee, this Bible also that I believe is true historically and is true, accurate. It's accurate. I believe that this Bible has the questions that you're really looking for, has the answers to the questions that you're really looking for. I said, I think if you gave it a shot, Lee, I think if you gave a shot reading this Bible, I think it'd be good. Because there's a God who loves you unconditionally, and he wants to be your Father. And I'd love to talk to you more about him. And he loves you, and he thinks you're great. And Lee, I said, I think that you don't give yourself enough credit for how smart you are and how valuable you are. And he goes, I'm my hardest critic. I think the worst of myself. And I go, but Jesus doesn't. Jesus thinks the best of you. He thinks the world of you. I said, Lee, what would you do if I told you that I love you and I think you're great? He goes, I'd walk away from you because you're crazy. I said, hey, Lee, I love you and I think you're great. Can I give you a Bible? He goes, sure. And I'm like, oh, golly, okay. Guys, I went and found the next Bible that I could find. It was someone's, but I gave it to Lee. I mean, it was laying out. You don't leave your Bible out. Lee will, you know, if you leave your Bible out, you're not using it. Lee's going to use it. So someone's Bible's there. I'm like, here, Lee, take this Bible, right? There's no name in it. I think it was one we give away for free at church. Maybe, I hope so. I said, Lee, start in Genesis and just read about the God that created everything, that created you. Then I want you to jump to John, the gospel of Jesus, who came and who died for you to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you and have you spend eternity with him. Would you do that? And he goes, I'll do that. And I said, will you be back next week? Because I'll be back next week. I tried finding him this week. I couldn't find him, but pray for Lee. God's doing a work in his heart. It started by asking questions, by knowing Lee's story, knowing why he's asking the questions that he's asking. It went to bringing in the Bible. Lee, let me tell you what God's word says about this. And he gave me every single reason to get frustrated and irritated and upset and argumentative and start a fight. And I just said, Gabe, you gotta keep calm. I'm not saying that I did it perfectly, because at one point I told him, I said, Lee, you're being very annoying right now because you're interrupting me. Can you please stop? And he goes, yeah, okay, that's fine. I'm like, cool, I'm glad that worked. I did call him annoying, though. He came back. In the passage, in 2 Timothy 2, 23 through 26, it talks about how they will come to their senses, those that are caught in the trap of lies. That phrase, come to their senses, it means they'll sober up. They'll sober up. People that don't know the truth, they need to be sobered up. They need to see the truth. They don't see it. They need to see it. But church, we need to sober up too. Because there's areas of our lives that we can get out of line in as well. So when our kids are asking us questions that we're just dismissing and acting like, I don't want to talk about that. I don't know the answer to that. So I'm just going to dismiss. I'm just going to downplay it. Sober up. That's an opportunity for us to come to our senses and going, God is placing an opportunity right here in my life to have a conversation. When we're in line at the grocery store and we're rushed and we're busy and there's conversations going on and all of a sudden a conversation turns spiritual, sober up. When the Mormon missionary comes and knocks on your door and you go, oh, I don't want to deal with this, sober up. These are opportunities that God is giving us to teach the truth of his word. Sober up. And some of us, we've never made the decision to follow Jesus. Sober up. There's a God who loves you, who knows you, who wants you, who finds infinite value and worth in you. Sober up. And then there's some of us who maybe accepted Jesus, but we haven't taken that next step. Maybe that next step for you is baptism. Maybe it's joining a life group, or it's serving, or it's having a conversation with someone. Maybe it's just writing a prayer request down. I would love for all of you right now, whether you plan on filling this card out or not, would you just reach in the seat back in front of you and pull that card out? Just everyone do it. Just humor me. Pretend like you're writing on it. Just make me feel better about myself. Pull that card out. On the back of that card, there's some decisions that you can make. One of them is to accept Jesus. One of them is to get baptized. One of them is to talk to a pastor. One of them is to write down a prayer request. Where do you need to sober up in? Do you want to meet up? Do you want to have a conversation? Is there a prayer you need? Is there a next step to take? Is there a decision to make? Sober up. We're all in this together. None of us have it all figured out. So let's do it together. Right now, I'm going to invite you to stand, and we're going to sing a song, and we're just going to close by worshiping God for who he is, for the God that he is, for his love for us. So, Lord, we love you. We thank you for who you are. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace in our life. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would help us to ask the right questions and not just jump to conclusions or jump to the right answers, but to ask the right questions to help bring clarity to the questions that are being asked from our kids, our grandkids, our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends, our relatives, whoever that is. God, help us to seek clarity. Help us to bring in your word. I pray that we people of your word, that we would live out your word in our lives and know your word and consume your word and live it out so we can teach it as you've called us to do. And God, I pray that we'd remain calm in all of this, knowing that you're the one that grants repentance, not us. Help us to be vessels that point people back to you, Jesus, our ultimate answer. We love you and praise in your name. Amen.